Welcome to a new deep dive. We're here to unpack complex topics and really get to the heart of what matters. Today, we're steering straight into a challenge that, well, it impacts millions of us across North America every single day, often without us fully grasping the scale. I'm talking about the bus driver staffing crisis. Now, you might think, oh, that's just a local issue. Maybe your kid's school route changed. But our sources show it's actually this huge, widespread struggle. It's hitting school districts, public transit, charter companies, you name it. So our mission today is pretty clear. Cut through the noise, understand why this is happening, explore the very real impacts, and crucially, uncover some, you know, proven solutions that actually work. We'll be pulling key insights from our sources, including a really detailed report called The Bus Driver Staffing Crisis, Solutions for Success. Get ready for some vital insights into a critical part of our infrastructure, one we probably take for granted. Okay, so the numbers tell part of the story, but what does this crisis actually look like on the ground? What are people really experiencing because of this shortage?
Yeah, it's fascinating and kind of worrying just how far-reaching the impact is. Yeah. We're not talking small inconveniences here. Think about disrupted school schedules, kids getting to school late, or maybe routes being canceled altogether. For commuters, it can mean much longer travel times, maybe fewer buses running, which means less access to jobs, healthcare, essential services.
Wow.
And for employers, it's a huge operational headache. Efficiency drops. Ultimately, it really starts to chip away at the well-being and the basic connectivity of entire communities.
Connectivity, that's a good word for it.
Right. If you don't have enough drivers, schools struggle, public services falter. It's fundamental.
It really sounds like a domino effect, doesn't it? Hitting everything from the morning school run to, well, your daily commute, maybe getting to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And this shortage, it isn't brand new, is it? Mm-hmm. But our sources say it's really intensified lately, especially post-pandemic.
Exactly. The issue's been simmering for a while, yeah. But the pandemic definitely threw gasoline on the fire, according to our sources. And if we, you know, dig into why people aren't becoming bus drivers or why they're leaving, several key things pop up. First off, it's the aging workforce. It's a big one. Our sources show that, like, almost a quarter of current drivers are getting close to retirement age.
A quarter. That's huge.
It is. It's like this demographic time bomb ticking. We're losing all that experience, and younger workers just aren't stepping in fast enough to fill that gap. Attrition is way ahead of recruitment.
Okay, so attrition outpacing recruitment. That's a major hurdle right there. What else makes this job so tough to fill?
Well, another pretty significant barrier is the whole commercial driver's license thing, the CDL.
All right.
Getting one is it's a rigorous process. Lots of tests, fees, specialized training. It's not simple.
Right.
For a lot of potential workers, that initial hurdle, the cost and time, it's just too high unless the employer steps up with some serious support.
Makes sense.
Then there's the whole wages versus responsibility issue. I mean, think about it. These drivers are transporting kids, commuters, essential workers. They're dealing with traffic, tight schedules, sometimes difficult passengers.
Yeah, a lot of responsibility.
Exactly. But the pay often just hasn't kept up with inflation or, frankly, with the sheer weight of that responsibility.
So the compensation doesn't always match the demands?
Mm-hmm.
What about the job structure itself? Is that a factor?
Oh, absolutely. The part-time nature of a lot of school bus work, especially, that's a big deterrent. Drivers often work split shifts, you know, a few hours in the early morning, then a long gap, then a few hours in the afternoon.
Right, that midday gap.
Yeah, and that makes it really tough if you're looking for steady, full-time hours with, like, full benefits. It's just not appealing for many people.
I can see that.
And one last thing, the background checks and regulatory delays. Drivers have to go through really thorough background checks, drug tests, medical exams, which is essential, obviously, for safety. But the process can be slow. These delays can really drag out the hiring timeline. And good candidates, they might just find something else in the meantime.
Okay, so it's this combination of factors making it tough. And it's clear this crisis touches, well, pretty much everyone. Let's break down how it plays out in specific areas. Maybe start with schools. Say it's like the most visible impact for a lot of families.
Yeah, the impact on schools is profound. It really is. We've seen districts literally forced to cancel bus routes, just poof, gone.
Oh.
Or they have to change the school start and end times, the bell schedules, just to make the bus runs work with fewer drivers.
Which messes up parents' work schedules too, I bet.
Totally. And you have kids waiting longer at bus stops, sometimes in the dark or bad weather. We even heard of, like, school principals or coaches having to get their CDL and drive buses themselves in emergencies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It directly hits families, student attendance, even things like kids being able to get to after-school activities.
And it's definitely not just schools, right? What about our cities? Public transit must be feeling this too.
Oh, absolutely. Urban transit systems are facing really similar shortages, and that hits reliability hard. You see missed runs, maybe service hours get cut back, buses end up being way more crowded, and all of that just erodes public trust in mass transit, which is, you know, exactly the opposite of what we need when we're trying to encourage more sustainable ways to get around.
Yeah, terrible timing for that.
It really is.
And beyond the public sector, what about private companies? Charter buses, airport shuttles, that kind of thing?
They're in the same boat. Private charter companies, the shuttle services running to airports or for corporate campuses, they all rely heavily on having enough licensed, experienced drivers. When they don't, they face, you know, lost revenue, they might miss out on contracts, and it damages their reputation for reliability.
So it's just this massive challenge across the board. Doesn't matter if it's public or private?
Pretty much. If you need professional riders, you're likely feeling the pinch.
Okay, so we've painted a pretty clear picture of the problem, its depth, its reach. But the good news is our sources don't just stop there.
Mm-hmm.
They also highlight several approaches, several strategies that are actually showing real promise, things that can strengthen that driver pipeline and help keep the drivers we have. Let's explore those solutions. What's working?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the most effective things popping up is the idea of strategic staffing partnerships. So instead of trying to do all the recruiting and vetting in-house, organizations partner with specialized providers. Our source mentioned RSS Inc. as an example. These companies, they have access to pre-screened CDL certified drivers already. They offer flexible options. Maybe you need someone short term or for a whole season or maybe temp to perm.
Okay.
And they handle a lot of the onboarding stuff too, like compliance checks and even some training support.
So the benefit isn't just like getting a driver quickly. It's more fundamental than that. It's about changing how you manage staffing.
Exactly. By outsourcing that piece, organizations can seriously reduce their risk. They save a ton of time and internal resources. And it lets them focus on their main job, which is running the buses, delivering the service, rather than getting totally bogged down in the nitty-gritty of recruitment.
Right. Takes that burden off their plate.
Precisely. It shifts the burden to experts who do just that.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
What else? What other strategies are successful organizations using?
Another really key strategy is investing directly in CDL training and sponsorship programs. So some companies are now actually offering paid CDL training. They'll cover the exam costs, maybe even provide the instruction themselves.
Oh, interesting. So they're building their own pipeline.
Kind of, yeah. It's a smart way to attract a whole new pool of workers, maybe people looking to switch careers who wouldn't otherwise be able to afford the training up front. And the added benefit is you're training drivers to your specific standards, your safety culture, right from the start.
Ah, good point.
Plus, sources suggest employees who get that kind of upfront investment often show more loyalty. They tend to stick around longer.
That makes sense. Invest in them, they invest in you.
Yeah.
What about keeping the experienced drivers you already have? Seems like that would be crucial and maybe more cost-effective.
Oh, absolutely. Retention is huge. You can't just focus on recruitment. So retention-focused incentives are critical. What does that look like? Well, things like retention bonuses, maybe after 6 months or a year, offering more flexible schedules, especially for part-timers or maybe semi-retired drivers who still want to work some hours. Keep their valuable experience in the mix.
Yeah.
Implementing proper recognition programs, you know, honoring drivers for safety records or years of service, making them feel valued, and maybe most importantly, genuinely improving the benefits package, health insurance, retirement plans, making it a more competitive long-term career.
And what about that onboarding bottleneck we talked about, the delays? Our sources mentioned streamlining that process. How does that help?
Right. Even if you find good candidates, if the hiring process takes forever, you can lose them. We talked about that.
Yeah.
So forward-thinking organizations are using technology here. Digital platforms to automate things like submitting background checks, handling all the DOT paperwork electronically. It just speeds up the whole orientation and onboarding timeline significantly. Our source mentioned companies using integrated software to get drivers ready for work much faster, but crucially, without cutting any corners on safety or compliance.
Isn't it about removing those friction points for new hires, making it smoother?
Exactly. Get them behind the wheel faster, safely, and legally.
Okay, so if an organization is thinking, all right, maybe this staffing partner thing is worth exploring, what should they actually look for?
Our source had some specific criteria, right?
Yeah, choosing the right partner is vital. It's not just any temp agency. You really need a vendor with a few key things. First, Industry-specific expertise. Do they actually understand transportation? DOT rules, CDL requirements, public transit dynamics. A general agency often won't get the nuances.
Right, specialization matters.
Hugely. Second, a proven safety record. Ask for documentation. How do they train drivers? What's their accident prevention program? Safety has to be paramount. Third, nationwide or at least regional reach. Especially if you operate in multiple locations, you need a partner who can scale with you and provide consistent quality.
Makes sense.
Fourth, a really robust compliance infrastructure. Can they handle all the complex regulations? We're talking FMCSA, DOT, E-Verify, background checks, drug testing, ADA, Title VI, all of it. They need to be experts in navigating that.
That sounds like a lot to manage.
It is. And finally, flexibility and responsiveness. Needs change. Can they provide one driver for emergency sick cover or ramp up quickly for a new route? They need to be agile.
Our sources specifically pointed to RSS Inc. as an example that kind of ticks these boxes. Can you elaborate a bit on how they exemplify these solutions in practice?
Sure. Our sources present RSS Inc. as a good illustration of the specialized model. They're built around reliability, deep compliance knowledge, and speed, specifically for transportation. So, unlike a general firm, they live and breathe transportation regs. Their recruiters are trained to find people who already have the right CDL class, the right endorsements like passenger or school bus endorsements, air brake qualifications.
So they're sourcing people who are much closer to being ready to drive that specific type of bus.
Exactly. It massively cuts down that onboarding time and the risk for the client because the initial vetting is so targeted.
So they're not just finding bodies. They're finding the right qualified people pre-vetted for the specific job needs.
Precisely. The sources indicate every driver they place meets all the relevant federal DOT and FMCSA standards. Plus state-level rules. They manage that whole complex vetting process, background checks, drug screens, checking driving records, MVRs, DOT medical exams. And they apparently provide all the compliance documentation and even track things like when medical cards or licenses need renewing. It's quite comprehensive.
That sounds like a huge administrative relief for the transportation company itself.
Absolutely.
And what about their flexibility? How do they handle different scales of need?
Well, they offer various models. Short-term placements, long-term temp to hire if you want to bring someone on permanently eventually, direct placement, even emergency coverage for unexpected gaps. That adaptability is key, especially for operations with, say, big seasonal swings or just the unpredictability of driver availability.
Right.
They also seem to combine local knowledge with a wider, potentially national talent pool. They segment their database really specifically by location, skills, experience, availability, so they can match drivers quickly, sometimes within hours. It goes beyond just filling slots. They aim to help optimize the whole staffing strategy, maybe consulting on route planning or retention ideas too.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly and look ahead. The future. What do our sources suggest is on the horizon for bus driver staffing?
Yeah, that's a really important question. Technology always comes up, right? Autonomous vehicles. While there's obviously a lot of buzz around self-driving tech, the experts cited in our sources seem to agree. Full automation for things like public transit buses and especially school buses, that's still quite a ways off, years, maybe decades, from being truly viable and widely adopted.
So drivers aren't going away anytime soon.
Nope. Human drivers remain indispensable, really, for the foreseeable future. Our sources are pretty clear on that.
So it's less about replacing drivers and more about empowering them, making the job better.
Exactly that. The focus should be on empowering human drivers with technology, not replacing them. Think about tools like really good GPS and route optimization software that makes their job easier, real-time communication with dispatch, digital tools for tracking hours or getting safety alerts. It's about making the job more efficient, safer, and maybe even a bit less stressful.
And what about bringing new blood into the profession, attracting that next generation?
Yeah, that's critical. The demographics mean we absolutely need a fresh approach to recruiting younger drivers. The messaging needs to change, perhaps, highlighting the value of its meaningful public service, showing clear pathways for career advancement, talking about stability, work-life balance, the benefits.
Changing the perception of the job itself.
Right. And a big part of that, according to our sources, is diversity and inclusion. Historically, commercial driving, maybe particularly bus driving, has skewed towards certain demographics.
Sure.
But agencies today that really prioritize inclusion, actively recruiting women, veterans, immigrants, people looking for a second career, they can massively expand their talent pool. And frankly, it makes the workplace culture richer, too.
Okay, so
pulling this all together, what does this mean for you, the listener? Whether you're a parent dealing with school buses, a commuter on public transit, or just someone in a community that relies on these services, it seems clear that staffing qualified, dependable bus drivers isn't just some routine HR task anymore. It's actually a major strategic priority, and it has huge implications for, well, community access, equal opportunity in education, and just basic operational stability for so many organizations.
Yeah, and the most effective path forward, based on what we've seen in the sources, seems to be this blended approach. You've got to invest seriously in your own training and retention efforts. That's foundational. But also, consider partnering strategically with those specialized staffing providers, like the RSS Inc. example, to leverage their expertise and reach. Relentlessly work on streamlining your own compliance and onboarding. Make it smooth, make it fast, but keep it rigorous. And adapt your recruitment strategies. Meet today's workforce where they are with the right message. These strategies, they aren't just about filling empty seats on buses. They're really about making sure our communities stay connected, stay functional, and can actually thrive.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, maybe something to think about is this. What role can you play, just as a member of your community, in valuing and supporting the really essential work these drivers do, the people who keep our buses and in many ways our lives moving every day? What stands out most to you about this really complex challenge and perhaps the ingenuity we're seeing in some of these solutions? Lots to consider there.